Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. On today's episode, we're starting a new series, which I'm really excited about, called How to Study the Bible. So whether you're an old pro or just getting started, I think this can really help you out. Now, before we get to that, I want to tell you about our national conference, speaking of studying the Bible, because this is a great place to learn a lot about what Scripture has to say to us. Our national conference is happening on October 26th through October 29th, and it's going to happen at Capel Bible Fellowship in Capel, Texas. We certainly hope that you can join us there. Well, let's get right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
We're glad that you're listening. We keep on hearing it. I'm amazed at how many people write to us and they say, like, for example, there's a mother who just wrote recently saying that she listens with her kids in the morning.
Wow.
And it kind of provokes questions and discussions with her, and I'm sure that the same is true for many other people. Well, in light of that, do you want to do something different, Bob? We've done a lot of Q&A recently.
Sure.
Let's just do something a little bit different. We'll do a mini-series on how about studying the Bible, how to be a Bible student.
Sure, that's good.
Well, I just came back from our Miami regional, and it was a great time. Despite COVID, despite all these other things that would have hampered the conference, we had maybe about 50 people. There was more online, and Pastor Cody Wallace, who hosted us, he keeps texting me about how more and more people are watching the videos.
Great.
But it was great to see people come together and just be hungry to hear the Word of God. You know, pretty serious teaching about the Word of God.
What was the theme of that conference?
It was biblical spiritual practices. So it's instead of spending all your time doing all these spiritual things that are very questionable, like icons and praying to saints and having candles, and there's all this kind of religious bric-a-brac that Christians...
Religious bric-a-brac?
Do you like that bric-a-brac?
We sell bric-a-brac? No, we don't think.
Well, I don't know. Some people do.
Yeah.
You can go into these shops, and there's all kinds of religious things. And what does the Bible actually say we should focus on?
So you talked about the Christian walk.
So we talked about different things that the Bible says. Here, this is what I likened it to: God going to a restaurant and ordering prime rib, and then the waiter coming to him and saying, no, we really prefer to give you the tofu and the quinoa. If God orders prime rib, what should
you
God
give
get?
Him prime rib.
You give him prime rib. So what is the prime rib spirituality? That was kind of my illustration. What's the prime rib spirituality? All this other stuff is tofu spirituality.
So we're going to talk about prime rib hermeneutics, prime rib,
well,
Bible study?
One of the things that we talked about in the conference, and you can listen to the conference files online. We have the video and we have the audio. One of the things was personal Bible study. Whereas God has not asked you to, like, make candles and pray before candles and stuff like that. God has asked you to study his word.
Right.
Are there any verses that come to you that might suggest that? How about Psalm 119?
Yeah, there's a lot in Psalm 119, 176 verses. It's an acrostic, so all 22 of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet get 8 verses. And each of those 8 verses start with that letter of the alphabet: Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, He, Vav, Zion, etc. They go right through all the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and over and over and over again, you see reference to God's word. Now, there are different synonyms used. Sometimes it's your law, sometimes it's your testimony, sometimes it's your judgments.
Right. For example, verse 97 in Psalm 119, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." Now, he's talking about the Bible.
Right.
And what does he do? He loves it.
Right.
Do you think King David... No, actually, who wrote this?
We
don't know.
It's not attributed, so it could be David.
But his Bible was not gathering dust. That's my point. His Bible wasn't gathering dust, was it? He loved it.
Right. And, of course, when we say his Bible...
His scrolls.
Right. They had scrolls, and they didn't have the entire... At the time of David, around 1000 B.C., he wouldn't have had much of the Old Testament, but he certainly would have had Torah. He
right.
would have had the first 5 books. He probably would have had Job and certain other books as well. And,
right.
of course, there were lots of psalms circulating because David himself wrote lots of psalms.
Right.
And even Moses in 1400 B.C. wrote Psalm 90, which certainly was circulating in David's day. And there were others that were writing psalms. So there were lots of things that were circulating, probably by law here. He's thinking particularly of the first five books of the Old Testament,
right.
The Pentateuch.
Right. Verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So he's taking God's word. And he's using it as a guide to life.
Many people, this is one of their favorite verses in the entire Bible.
Right. Or think about 2 Timothy 3:16.
All scripture is profitable for correction, for reproof, for teaching, for training in righteousness. The man of God may be adequate, fully equipped.
Right. So scripture is profitable for all of those things. So God, my point is, whereas all these other kinds of spiritualities are in question, there's just no question that God wants people to be in his word, studying his word.
Absolutely. Now, of course, the primary way, I think, in the history of the church this has been done is through the meeting of the local church. Because prior to the invention of the printing press in the 15th century with Gutenberg, people did not have Bibles in their homes.
Right.
And even then, it wasn't until 1611 that we received in English the King James Version. There were Wycliffe came out with one, Tyndale came out with one before that. But it became extremely widespread in the English-speaking world after 1611. But up until then, people mainly got their teaching of the Bible in the local church. Even today, there are many people around the world who their primary Bible teaching comes from hearing the word taught. After all, the Bible is still not in many languages mm-hmm. around the world, mm-hmm. you know, but we have the advantage that because there are so many Bibles in English, so many good translations
sure.
in English, we can study the Bible for ourselves. And like in our church, Victor Street Bible Chapel, we read through the Bible about every year and a half.
Right.
So we read about two chapters a day. Over the course of a year and a half, we will have read the whole Bible. And that's not really studying it. It's reading it. But
yeah.
that's one form of study.
I mean, you're learning something as you're
right.
reading. By the way, when did you start studying the Bible? How old were you?
Well, I came to faith when I was 20. I started studying the Bible, I think, when I was about 12. I was in a cult group, and so I was trying to be good enough to be saved. So I started reading the Bible. And I remember all through high school, I was reading probably 20, 30 minutes of the Bible a day. Mm-hmm. I had a Revised Standard Version, and I marked it up, read it cover to cover, didn't understand it. I was all confused, but I remember reading it. I didn't read as much in college until I became a Christian, but I believed in God. I believed in the Trinity. I believed in coming judgment.
Right.
But I thought, basically, we had to be good enough to be worthy to be saved. And then once we were saved, we had to be perfect to stay saved.
Right.
So it was kind of an odd theology I had.
Right.
And then finally, in my senior year, and just before my senior year started, I was confronted, and that led me to come to faith in Christ.
Right. So that actually kind of provides a counter to what you said before about learning the Word of God from the meeting of the local church. You're going to go to a lot of local churches where you're just going to get extremely confused.
That's a very good point. I recently wrote, I think it was a blog, talking about the fact that if a person lacks assurance, well, there are two good things they could do. Number one is they can ask God to give them assurance.
Right.
And number two, they can follow up on their prayer by seeking out a local church that is accurately teaching the Bible. And I said, if you get the wrong local church, you're going to get the wrong message.
Right.
And I said, number three, you can start by reading the Bible. But I said, even there, it's important you read the right book.
Well,
if you're
yeah.
reading the Song of Solomon, it may help your marriage, but it's not going to help you gain assurance of eternal life.
Yeah, that's right.
If you're reading the Gospel of John, now there's a book that is designed to give people assurance of eternal life and to lead them to faith in Christ. And so there's a good book to read.
So there's kind of a chicken and an egg dynamic there.
Now, how's that go?
Well, so what comes first, right? The chicken or the egg? And so
I know the chicken comes first.
Well, you want to find, you want a Bible-teaching church that teaches correct doctrine, but in order to recognize that, you already need to know correct doctrines. You already need to be able to have studied that by yourself. You can't just, do you see the problem?
I do.
It's like you already need to know the truth in order to see who's teaching the truth.
To an extent, but here's where prayer comes in. If we're genuinely praying and seeking God, God the Holy Spirit will work through our searching. For example, I remember not only did I go to this cult group from age 6 to about age 20, But when I was in college, I couldn't drive all the way to the cult group. At least I didn't. So I remember over my first 2 years, I must have gone to 10 or more different churches.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd go to a church trying to find somebody that was giving me something good from the Bible. And I didn't find anything, didn't find anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I was seeking. And finally, a friend challenged me that maybe my view of the gospel was wrong. And I ended up going to a Campus Crusade for Christ meeting at his college. And that led me to contacting Campus Crusade for Christ at my college.
Right.
That person then kept harping on Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast.
Right.
After about 5 sessions of meeting with Warren, I came to faith in Christ, and then he guided me to a church that was clear, and I was baptized, and I became a member of that church. And after that, I gained spiritual discernment, so I was able to find churches on my own when I later went on staff with Campus Crusade.
That's right. So there is a process of developing spiritual discernment.
But God can, if we're confused. Let's say someone's in a church that's proclaiming a work salvation gospel.
Mm-hmm.
If they keep crying out to God, eventually God will bring someone into their life to challenge them. I mean, I remember your own stories. You told me how you talked to Orthodox priests.
Oh, yeah.
And you would talk to them about what a person had to do to be born again, and you weren't trying to witness to them.
Right.
You were trying to get them to tell you, but their answers were unsatisfying.
Right.
No, so, in a sense, you were witnessing to them.
Well, I still talk, yeah, and I'm still searching. I mean, there's a lot of things that I'm not clear about, and I'm searching the scriptures about, and I'm
right. It's
I'm trying to be a Berean.
You're raising a good point here. We can be sure of many doctrines in the scriptures.
Right.
But there's a million different things the Bible teaches.
Right.
If we're not open, you know, we're going to end up and not be followers of God's word, but we're going to be followers of some church, some denomination,
right.
Some man.
Right.
And that's what you call a cult.
Well, I think we've established that, listen, God wants us to go into his word. You can see that in Psalm 119. You can see that in what Paul told Timothy. You can see that in the examples of the Bereans in Acts chapter 17. But now the question is, how do we study God's word? So stay tuned as we do a mini-series on how you can study God's word more effectively.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Next time on the program, we're going to talk about the different genres in the Bible. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in focus.